With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Thursday. It's hour one. Come on in. Stay a while. We'll check in with the Buffalo Bills. Their former great special team Pro Bowler, Steve Tasker, will join us. He covers the team. Chris Sims, Football Night in America, former NFL quarterback, will stop by a little bit later on as well. The big news, Josh Allen is day-to-day with that tender elbow. Matthew Stafford is in concussion protocol. I watched the game. I didn't see a hit or didn't remember a hit that would have put Matthew Stafford in concussion protocol. But some of the topics that we will address coming up. Stat of the day brought to you, as always, by Panini America. Those are the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. A lot of new merchandise there. Go to danpatrick.com. A lot of great things for the holidays and some big announcements coming up on Monday. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. Say good morning to those on chat row, those also watching on Peacock, our streaming partner, or listening to radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and the other radio stations around the nation. This program brought to you by Discover, and you have a lot of banks that make it difficult to redeem credit card rewards. With Discover, you redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time, and that's amazing. Learn more. Discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms do apply. Watched some basketball last night. Watched the Lakers and the Clippers and wasn't surprised. Watched the Nets against the Knicks, and I wasn't surprised either. The Knicks are bad. And I saw the Nets actually playing some defense. Lo and behold, that might be the key for this team, playing a little bit of defense. And they had Kevin Durant last night with a triple-double. Jacques Vaughn is now the official head coach of the Nets, as he had an interim basis. But Jacques Vaughn got elevated there, and Ime Udoka, it was supposed to be imminent that he was going to be named the new head coach. And then all of a sudden, did somebody have a change of heart? The owner, Joe Tsai, did he go, maybe we're going to get some backlash here. How you didn't think there was going to be backlash if you were going to hire the Celtics head coach who's been suspended for having an affair with a subordinate, and you're going to bring him in with all the drama you got with Kyrie Irving? How about you start reducing your drama, not adding to your drama? And Jacques Vaughn has been with the team for a couple of years, and he's got a pretty good resume there. And, you know, maybe he gets them to play defense because that's really going to be a key for this team. They're one of the worst defensive teams in the league. Here's the other thing. We tend to look at a sample size of about 5 to 10 games and go, that's who they're going to be this year. The Nets still have the 6th best odds, according to Vegas, DraftKings, to win the title. They're a mess, but there's a lot of, we got 70 games to get ready. If you're going to have drama, it helps when you have talent. They have both there. Do I think Kyrie plays for them? If I'm Kevin Durant, if I'm the Nets, if I'm Jacques Vaughn, you know what? Great talent, but he's just not worth it because he giveth and he taketh away. And, you know, maybe this is where the Lakers go, well, we'll take him. You don't want him. What do you want for him? Maybe. But at some point, you got to just say, let's cut our losses here. And maybe this owner had an epiphany and he's going to go, why would I bring in this coach who we had him on the staff. We don't even know all the information about what happened in Boston with Ime Udoka. Very, very little. And it went quiet for a week. And then all of a sudden you're going, wait a minute. I thought he was going to get hired. This is a mere formality. Now he's not. I'm still baffled by this, that the Celtics would just let him go without asking for something in return. But it turns out Brooklyn didn't hire him. But I watched the game last night, and KD had a triple-double. He's the most unstoppable player in the league. He is. You can talk about Luka. You can talk about the Greek Freak, Ja Morant, Steph Curry. Kevin Durant's the most unstoppable player in the league. Double-teamed always. And still put up great numbers. And he makes it look easy where you go, here comes the jumper. He could almost say to you, hey, here comes the jumper. Hey, I'm going to go left and shoot the jumper. Hey, I'm going right shooting the jumper. He's just too tall, that release point, and it's a great rhythm that he gets into. Yeah, Marv.
Did you see his crossover over the weekend against the guy from the Wizards?
I felt bad for that guy.
I mean, he was doing stuff. There's some guards in this league who can't pull that move off.
Pretty impressive.
That was nasty.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Paul.
There's got to be more with Ime Udoka. The guy has lost two head coaching jobs before Thanksgiving. You know, he lost the Celtics job. He was imminent to get the other job, and they were a mess, and they needed a winning coach. Usually guys who win as much as he did and are young don't get thrown away. There's got to be way more to this story.
Here is Jacques Vaughn, the Nets head coach, on was he the first choice?
Did being passed over impact your thinking at all about your odds of getting this?
I guess I was the write-in candidate in the minds of elections right now. But I'm okay with that. I said to my wife, I might have not been her first choice, and we've been together 20 years, so you know it could all work out. So off we go.
I like it. Great answer. KD had a triple-double, 29, 12, and 12. The first player since Michael Jordan to score at least 25 points in each of his team's first 12 games. And woo!
Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Lakers lost to the Clippers, 114-101. They're now 2-9, matching the worst start in franchise history. There will continue to be conversations about what the Lakers can do, should do, will do, won't do, and it might just come down to Anthony Davis if you want to trade Anthony Davis. And maybe you just say, this is the lineup we have. We're going to take our lumps here, see what happens here in the offseason. But I wonder what this means next season. Like, we're, 11 games in, and I think you got to start looking at next season because I don't know if anything gets better. They have no depth whatsoever on that team. Russ off the bench, great. LeBron's got an injury. In fact, here's LeBron talking about his groin injury.
LeBron, can you just take us through how you feel and what you felt on that play with about 5 minutes left?
I feel good. I mean, besides the injury, you know, get pitchers on it tomorrow and go from there. But didn't do anything, you know, extraneous on the play. Just when I landed, I felt a little either spasm or strain in my groin. So immediately I just come out after that, after the next play down when I went to the free throw line.
I'm sure you don't want to speculate too much. We know that back in the Christmas game, Golden State a few years ago, so is it similar area, same side, anything?
It's not as bad.
Okay. Sure. Okay. I mean, at his age, the way he plays, still plays, it's amazing. But he's going to have these more and more and more. And you can't limit his minutes because you don't have any talent on that roster right now. Paul George played really well last night. No Kawhi, but I wouldn't prepare for Kawhi Leonard playing a majority of games, that's for sure. Yes, Marv.
And this isn't 10 years ago. Remember what, like, when the Cavs or the Heat, they would kind of get off to a slow start and say, oh, once LeBron turns it on, they can just get on a roll? Yep. This isn't that anymore because he's in, what, year 20?
Yeah.
And his team's not very good.
Yeah. It's not like you can rest him a little bit or have somebody. This is what I thought the role was going to be for Anthony Davis. It was gradually going to be his team. And then you would get Russell Westbrook during the regular season, who would handle the majority of the minutes running the point, and this would allow LeBron to sort of manage himself throughout the season. And then you got to the postseason, and then that's what he can take over. But there's no depth, and you watch that team, there's no life there. And it's only 11 games into the season. But they know. Players know before we know. And you just get that feeling when you're watching. It's like, it's just inevitable. Yeah, Mark.
Have you ever covered a really bad team, like even before the season started or early in the season, where you're just like, oh, this is going to be a long year, and you could just see it on the players' faces?
I don't remember covering anybody who was not good on a consistent basis. I remember going out, I'd go to the Jets, but they were still competitive when they had Ken O'Brien, this sack exchange. The Giants were winning Super Bowls, or at least competing in Super Bowls. The Mets were playing in the World Series. The Yankees were kind of a mess with Billy Martin when I first started covering them. And as a reporter, you sort of want one or the other. You want the team that's a mess or the team that's unbelievable. You root for the extremes because then that gives you a storyline. When I would go to Yankee Stadium, I went to Yankee Stadium to do a profile on Don Mattingly. I got out there, Billy Martin had been fired. And all of a sudden you're going, all right, well, let me cover this. Because that had happened right in front of you. And I remember one of the Yankees said, oh, he'll be back. And it always stayed in my mind that they knew the drama that was there. They dealt with the drama, and it was just part of the landscape there. All right, poll question. Seton, what do we have today?
Dan, we're looking at, because of the Josh Allen story, best backup quarterback situation in the National Football League.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you're looking at the Bills with Case Keenum.
All right.
That's a high-end backup.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay.
I feel good turning the ball over to him. At least, I mean, it's not ideal, but not like, oh, crap, I don't know what we're going to do with this guy.
I would say the Colts have the best backup situation because they have Matt Ryan and Nick Foles.
Yep.
But why Nick Foles is not playing, I still don't understand that because he's better than Sam Ehlinger. That's where, if you say, okay, I just want somebody to tell me, why is Nick Foles not playing? I mean, I'm not making him out to be, Joe Namath here, but he does have success, and he has success in the Super Bowl. And I just think that guy's at least proven.
Dude's got a statue.
Yeah. And more importantly,
he's got a statue of himself. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
And Matt Ryan is a statue.
Yeah. He's slower than a statue. Oop. Yeah. But I just keep going, all right, what's going on here? Because you're not going to play Nick Foles. All right. We'll talk to Steve Tasker about what's going on with the Buffalo Bills. Yes, Eaton, was there something else you wanted to add?
Oh, no. I was just ready to go down the rest of the poll question with you, but we can move on.
Oh, okay.
Whatever you want to do.
Rest of the poll question with backup quarterbacks?
Yeah, because we really just got to the two. We could just do those two options if you want.
No.
You
can
there's
give
other
the,
teams.
No, you can give me the other ones.
Teddy Bridgewater, the Dolphins.
I love Teddy.
He's high end.
Right.
We have now. Where do you put people like, say, Jacoby Brissett? He's kind of a backup, but he's a starting backup right now. Or Jimmy Garoppolo is a backup quarterback, but he's starting.
Mm. Yeah.
I think this is current situations.
It's fluid.
Yeah, like Garoppolo is now the starter, and Brissett will be the backup.
Yeah. And then we're probably going to go to the backup with the Rams, if Matthew Stafford, Wofford, John Wofford, instead of Matthew Stafford.
There. Eagles, your boy, Gardner Minshew.
I think Gardner Minshew's a starter in this league. I do.
You know, what if we kept it there? Bills, Colts, Dolphins, Eagles.
Sure.
Why not, right?
Why not?
Yeah,
why
we
not?
Can do whatever we want. There's no rules.
No, it's my show. I can do whatever I want.
You make it up.
And people think it's scripted, so we've already, you know, we know the results of this when it's all said and done, don't we?
Hold on.
Are you reading
Yes,
it?
We do.
That's scripted. That's true.
Yeah. See that?
Yeah. It's like a screenplay that the Danettes get every morning. And they have their lines there that have been scripted out. We got some writers from Hollywood who help out. Yeah, Paul.
10:45, Fritzy chokes on himself a little bit and everyone laughs.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. We'll get to your phone calls, emails, tweets. Before we take a break, a person I worked with at CNN many, many years ago, Fred Hickman, passed away. And Freddie was 66 years of age. I know there have been a lot of tributes, so I can only tell you firsthand what it was like to be with him and Nick Charles. I had great admiration for how they did a sports show at 11:30 every single night. And, you know, when you see charisma, you know it, and Fred Hickman had charisma. He had that twinkle in his eye. He was a little, you know, a little bit of mischief in him, but you talk about chemistry with him and Nick Charles, and I thought that show was better than anything that ESPN SportsCenter had up until that point, but I took great inspiration of what Freddie did every single night, and nobody's had a bad word to say about him. He was a wonderful person, and he did it well. He did it great. And age 66. And an inspiration to a lot of African Americans getting into the business. And I didn't realize it. And I don't even know if Freddie realized it at the time. Later on, he did. Because people would tell him that, you know, thank you. I saw you do sports. And when you think about inspirational, certainly with African Americans, minorities, you know, Stuart Scott paved the way for a lot of people. But Fred Hickman paved the way for Stewart and a lot of anchors. But I admired him just because he had fun every night. He enjoyed it. He appreciated it. And he and Nick Charles, Nick, who passed away over a decade ago, that's as good a tandem as you'll find who've ever done this on a nightly basis. We'll take a break. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show. Tunnel to Towers Foundation is, well, they're always going to be there, supporting America's heroes and their families since 9/11. And Christopher Slutman is one of those heroes. He was with the New York Fire Department for 15 years, later became a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he was in Afghanistan serving our country. He was killed in action, and he left behind three young children and his wife. That was 2019. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home, young children left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage, lifting the financial burden and bringing their family stability. Chris's family able to stay in the house that he and his wife picked to raise their kids, that house that allows those kids to feel a little bit safer, a house where everybody can show up and support them after his death. Tunnel to Towers is doing amazing things, but it's also, you know, also thank you to you, because you can donate $11 a month. Tunnel to Towers, T2T.org. That's the letter T, number two, letter T.org. Thank you. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll settle on a poll question coming up. Phone calls are always welcome. There have been various reports, a major announcement regarding the Washington Commanders expected tomorrow afternoon by the D.C. Attorney General. So the Attorney General will hold a press conference to make a major announcement regarding the Washington Commanders. We'll try to find out a little bit more information on that as we move along with this program. Yesterday, the Buffalo Bills had a press conference, their head coach, Sean McDermott, and everybody wanted to know the status of Josh Allen, and here is how he answered that question.
All right. I know everyone's going to be anxious to ask questions about Josh. Certainly respect you guys. I'll have a job to do. So I'll give you what I've got on Josh is he's day to day. And the next question will be, is he going to play? And the answer is, we'll see. So based on the medical report that we have, Josh is day to day.
All righty. Day to day. Everybody holds their collective breaths. And very vague, Steve Tasker, the former Bills All-Pro and former Hall of Fame finalist, joining us on the program. Steve, what do you make of what Sean McDermott had to say about this situation?
Yeah, I don't think they know if he's going to play or not. I'm sure Josh feels like he's going to be able to get there. I think what it comes down to, Dan, is they're going to weigh the risk of how likely it is that Josh hurts himself further and has to drag this elbow thing around all season, and how likely it is that he can play well and they can win. I think that's the real question. I don't think there's any question he could drag himself out there and play, but how much of a risk is it to the rest of the season if he does? I don't think they know that.
How important is he when you look at all the quarterbacks and what's at stake now, where Buffalo, this is supposed to be their year, his year, the importance, can they survive without him, and if so, how long?
Yeah, I think they can survive without him, but in every game they play this year, he's going to be the best player on the field. I think they're almost treading into places where the Patriots went with Brady and where the Colts went with Peyton Manning. He is an enormous eraser, Dan. Whatever goes wrong, it don't matter. He can overcome it. I mean, that's where they're at with him, and that's, you know, that's how good he is. He can. I mean, you take that last play of the game when he threw it 70 yards last week at the end of the game. You can't imagine how hard it is for a defense to defend that much field every play. But he forces you to do it, and that's and he can overcome it. So whatever goes wrong, so you can throw whatever you want at him as a defense. It may not matter even if you get it right. That's how good he is. So they're going to miss him. Now, Case Keenum can play. They can play. They can win with Case Keenum, no question. But they got to, the rest of the roster's got to rise up. They got to play really good, and it's going to look a lot different with Case Keenum than Josh Allen. That's for sure.
Well, I wondered if you had a reliable running game, then maybe you do take a little bit of pressure off whoever's the quarterback. You don't have that luxury here. Does the game plan change at all if Case Keenum is your starter against the Vikings as opposed to Josh Allen?
Yeah, I don't know. You could go with the exact same game plan that you do with Josh Allen, but it's going to look different. Case Keenum's going to make different choices than Josh does. You're going to spread the football around. The running backs are going to get the ball a little more. The tight end's going to get the ball a little more. Gabe Davis is going to get the ball a little more. The offense really depends on Josh and Steph Diggs a lot when it's healthy. And, you know, they really don't need the running game to be all that good with Josh Allen and Steph Diggs in there. So they really don't depend on it. With Case Keenum, it's going to look different. They may hand it off once or twice more than they do otherwise. Certainly when they drop back to pass, they're going to take the check down a lot more than they did with Josh Allen. And Case Keenum's not the runner that Josh is either. So even if you go in there with the exact same game plan, it will manifest itself completely differently with Case Keenum taking snaps than it does with Josh.
And I wondered, we're talking to Steve Tasker, the former Bills All-Pro. If you start to look at where we thought the Bills were going to be in that division, they would have a luxury of a few games, a cushion. You don't have that cushion. The Jets are better than we thought. Miami's going to be there, it feels like. And you lost last week, so it's not like you go, let's sit him down for a week or two and see if rest helps him.
Yeah, I mean, they're 0-2 in the division. You know, the only two losses they've got are the Dolphins and the Jets. And I'll say this, too. The Jets, you got to tip your hat to them. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that are really good that would have gotten beat by the Jets last weekend. They played really good. When you get an effort like that out of the Jets and Zach Wilson doesn't make mistakes, they're pretty tough out. The Bills found that out. That's, you know, so the Bills are sitting there. They're a half game, maybe a game and a half up on the Chiefs because of the head-to-head. The Bills are sitting there in a nice spot. They're the one seed. They've beaten the Chiefs. They've beaten the Ravens, and they've beaten Tennessee, the other three division leaders. But right in their own division, they lose this weekend. They could go from the one seed to the third seed in their own division with a loss. So there's a lot of bad things that can happen if they don't win this game, even though it's an out-of-conference, out-of-division game. So you're right. I mean, you got to keep pressing. This is a team that went to the three seed last year but felt like they were good enough at the end of the season to be the one, and they just weren't there. So if you're going to give yourself the best chance to go to the Super Bowl, you got to win games like this game against Minnesota at a time when there's like five teams nipping at your heels in the standings.
Yeah, and you got home field advantage, or, you know, there's no team that would rely on home field advantage probably more than Buffalo would with the elements there in January. You've lived in Buffalo. You played in Buffalo. The importance of this year's team to that community, considering everything that's happened in the last, you know, 30 years, 40 years, is what?
Yeah, they're a wagon, man. I mean, this team's full. It's a wrecking crew. They're really good. When they're clicking on all cylinders, they're a sight to behold. And this town lives on them, man. It's the nectar of the gods for this fan base. I mean, it's unbelievable. They love this crew. It's a great group of guys. who like each other a lot. It's a fan base who've kind of the Bills Mafia thing is all about family. So it's a fan base with a lot of affection, not only for their team, but for each other, because of the commiseration of two decades of purgatory that they went through together. So it's a fan base that's really got a kind of a family feel to it. I mean, you got fans that don't know each other that are embracing, kind of loving each other. It's a cool atmosphere around this team. The expectations were almost so high, it was scary for a lot of Bills fans. They never been in that spot before. And then they get out of the gate against the world champions and then the one seed in the conference with the Rams and the Tennessee Titans, and they thump those guys. They get off to a rousing start. They drop a game to Miami in a game where they were really injured, and it was that thing in Miami with the heat and the humidity that really – it's something I never went through as a player down there. We never had a game like that in Miami. For all the years I played down there, it was never like that for our team, and it came out of nowhere. So this team with expectations and a fan base, I mean, they cannot wait to watch this team play every week. I mean, it's like they're just looking forward to it because it's, you know, it's like I said, it's nectar of the gods here for this fan base. It's like, you know, they're a crack pipe and this town is an addict. They can't get enough of this team.
Before I let you go, I was wondering about this. I know you were a finalist for the Hall of Fame and you were a special teamer, but I didn't know did they create the special teamer for the Pro Bowl because of you?
No, just after me. I was, you know, Bill Bates and Mossy Tatupu were a big factor in that. A lot of great players back then. I got in 85, and the Pro Bowl thing came around 82, 83.
Okay.
What happened, Dan, the rosters got a little bigger in the NFL, and to maximize your chance to win, they needed everybody to contribute. So now they started having professional special teams players back in the early 80s. They had guys who did it as a team. And there were here and there was a guy around, you know, like Hank Bauer from the Chargers and guys like that around the league who had made a name for themselves being able to do it. And guys like him inspired the league to say, you know what, we got to get a guy in there because the rosters were bigger then and the game expanded and more guys down the roster got a chance to really help the team on game day. So now during my time, you'll have, and even now you'll have a half a dozen, eight guys that are professional special teams players. So I came up and I kind of played in the golden era of that where there was no salary cap and they had guys on the team that were just special teams players. And so, yeah, I was a semifinalist. I never made a finalist.
Oh,
I was
finalist.
A semifinalist,
okay.
A bunch. Like, yeah, a bunch of times I was a semifinalist. Never got to the final list. But, you know, that ship has sailed for me. I'm out of my years of eligibility for the voters to vote me in. And I can't be bitter about being in that conversation. It's flattering. I appreciated the debate when I had a chance to go on, but, yeah, someday somebody will go in. Maybe it'll be Matt Slater, that gets in and hope he does.
But you got to be the most famous special teamer in NFL history. Non-return
well, maybe
guy.
Maybe now, yeah. Maybe at this point in history I will be, but there'll be other guys too. I was on a great team, Dan. I got a lot of exposure because of that. I made some really nice plays during that time. That team was really good, and that puts you up on the consciousness of the average fan, not just Bills fans. And I've always been really appreciative of what happened to me and the things I was able to do on that team. They were a great bunch of guys. It was fun, and I, you know, even though we lost four Super Bowls in a row, it was a blast to be on that team, a blast. I'll never forget it. It was a gift. And I treat it as such, and I appreciate the conversation. But yeah, I think for me, the Hall of Fame, that ship has sailed, even though I appreciated the time I had being considered.
What's the Super Bowl you replay in your mind occasionally?
Wow, man, they all get replayed at some of they don't, you know, it's not that that they don't wake me up at night, but sometimes I can't get to sleep. you know, that's more the way it is, right?
Yeah. So
I have replays of all of them, and mostly because of the great guys that were on all four of those teams, you know, and the guys that
But if
made
you
a couple
see like Bill Parcells, bad things come into your mind, or you see Troy Aikman, bad things come into your mind?
No. I got a lot of respect for those guys. You don't get to the Super Bowl and you don't get to play 2-14 teams that are struggling. You get to play Hall of Fame.
Well, you can respect him, but when you see them, it's like, oh, that brings back bad memories.
Yeah, you know what though, Dan? I think as players, most of the guys think, you know, it wasn't them, it was me. You know, it was me. I should have played better.
It's great to talk to you. Hopefully,
appreciate you, man.
Hopefully, it is day to day with Josh Allen, and he's able to.
I think it is
to get through this. Get through this.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is day to day. There's a real chance he plays, and I think it comes down to, like I said, it's that risk. Do the team really believe that he can go out there and play four quarters, make every throw, make every play, and not be any worse for wear if nothing weird happens? Then you got a chance for him. But this is a culture here in Buffalo. They're pretty cautious with guys. They like him to get 100. They like the guy to feel like he's ready to play 100%. So there's that too. I really think it's up in the air right now.
Thank you, Steve. Great to talk to you.
All right, Dan, be good.
That's Steve Tasker, former Bills All-Pro and former sideline reporter, NFL on CBS. He was a semifinalist. I had him as a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also co-host of One Bills Live. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Sims, former NFL quarterback, a Pro Football Talk Live co-host with our friend Mike Florio, NBC Football Night in America analyst as well. Chris, we start with the most important question that you will face this weekend. When's the last time you went to Hooters?
Gosh, it's been a long time. Man, I used to be pretty frequent when I was in my days of Tampa and in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers. Gruden was really good friends with the owner of Hooters. So we usually had like a card in our locker some point during the offseason that gave us free Hooters. Right. So it was like, okay, when in doubt, let's go to Hooters there. Right. And so it's been a while. I'm going to say it's probably been 12 years, 13 years since the last time I've set foot in a Hooters. I think that's about right.
Have you brought your children to Hooters?
No, okay. Nor will that. I mean, Hooters, you know, no. And the big debate is will I ever really go there again? I don't know, you know.
Okay.
I mean, gosh, the outfits are not that great anymore for 2022. It's not that great. And the food stinks, so I don't think I'll be getting any sponsorship from them anytime soon. Nor do I want my, like, young kid or my daughter to have to sit there and look at Hooters, why they eat below Hooters food, below average Hooters food.
That was a deep dive there.
It was, right?
Yeah.
Deep That's dive. What you brought me here for.
Jeff Saturday seemed like he was a little defensive when he was questioned whether he had the criteria to be the head coach, and he had this to say.
I'm completely comfortable in who I am as a man, bro. I know I can lead men. I know the game of football, and I'm passionate about it. I have no fear about, are you as qualified as somebody else, bro? I spent 14 years in a locker room. I went to the playoffs 12 times. I got five dudes in the Hall of Fame that I play with. You don't think I've seen greatness? You don't think I've seen how people prepare, how they coach, how they GM, how they work? I mean, won Super Bowls, been to two. Like, here's the deal, man. None of us are promised a good job. I may be terrible at this, and after eight games, I'll say, God bless you. I am no good. I may be really good at it. I got no idea, but I dang sure ain't going to back down. I can tell you that.
Okay. Does he understand why we may be a little suspicious about this scenario, or maybe shocked?
I mean, it didn't seem like it from that answer. I think he probably does understand. I think he's probably trying just to, you know, bolster his argument to why – you know, he at least thinks he deserves a chance at this, you know, but it's fair for all of us to question. I don't think he's that unrealistic to realize that. You know, again, all those great things he said, sure, that's great. But it really still has jack diddly squat to do with coaching. It doesn't, you know, okay, so now you've never organized a practice schedule in your life. Now you have to do that every day, let alone organizing a bunch of other issues. And now you've never held a meeting and had to go over how's our game philosophy going to do, offense, defense, how are we going to do this, and this is where. So you've never done that before, let alone now you're in the game and you've never managed situations. And, okay, you've never really even taught a position group in the NFL. So that's where, you know, we all question that, right? I mean, that's the big thing. I know he can lead men. I know he knows football and the base principles of the game that you got to do to be successful. But damn, there's been a lot of Hall of Famers and guys like that who have claimed they can do that and coach a football team, and they can't. So this is going to be an interesting experiment and one of the more intriguing games now on Sunday, just because I want to see how he does manage himself in the team.
Are the Colts tanking?
I mean, I don't think it's like
managerial tanking. Managerial tanking?
I mean, maybe I don't think they are.
Wait. Do you think that Sam Ellinger should be the starting quarterback over Nick Foles?
I think it was worth the shot to see if they're like, at least he's the guy. We know what Nick Foles is.
But they said the rest of the seat. Do you think Sam Ellinger is a better quarterback than Nick Foles right now for this team?
No, probably at this moment, no. You know, could it be maybe another week or two down the road? He could be. You know, again, I think the problem here is when you take the team as a whole, right? Nick Foles is going to go into the same problems that Matt Ryan is. Not a big arm, can't move in the pocket, they can't protect, he's going to get hit a lot, right? So Ellinger at least has some movement ability, some quarterback design run. He's a big, thick, strong guy.
That didn't help him. He got sacked 9 times against the Bengals.
Well, I get it. I mean, nothing's going to help him, period, against the Patriots last week. You're right. They got issues. I mean, their offense, it stinks. They misevaluated the strength of their offensive line and how good it was going to be again. I mean, I guess to your question, they'd be a little bit better with Nick Foles, but I understand them going with Sam Ellinger. And honestly, with Jim Irsay here, I think he thinks he might be finding, like, you know, a diamond in the rough here as far as, like, he might be onto something. It doesn't feel like he was like, let me pick the worst possible candidate to tank. I think he's going like, I think I'm going to bring something into the game that nobody's ever seen before, and we're going to shock the world. That's what it feels like, at least, just from some of the statements they've made.
Yeah. Hey, I think it's great that he has no coaching experience. I think that's great. You know,
right. He's
not going to coach in fear like these other coaches do in the NFL. We're talking to Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. How would you manage an injury that Josh Allen has? If you're Josh Allen, can you play differently?
Not really. I mean, you know, it's like, he doesn't know any different than let me unleash that ball and throw it 100 miles per hour or throw it, you know, 70 yards down the field. This is totally going to just be on the feel of that elbow.
Can you shoot that up?
You can shoot it up, but you got to – yeah, you can shoot it up. You definitely can. But you know, again, you don't want to shoot it up to the point where if it's so inflamed and bothered that – you're making it worse as you're shooting it up, and it's already got an issue, and now you don't realize it's hurting because you've shot it up, and that's when, oh, no, something doesn't feel right. Oh, damn, I tore that nerve or that, you know, that ligament. So that's what I think you got to be worried about with this one. This is not the type of thing you would want to shoot up. And, I don't have much experience with this one, nor do I – can I really say I know anybody through my history. You know, shooting it up as a quarterback, I don't know if that would really work. I'd be afraid that it's too numb. I don't have feel for the ball, right, Dan? So that would be, I think, a thing. You just take a lot of aspirin and hopefully that I can grip the ball and let it loose. And I don't know. He's such a freak of nature. I just have a feeling it's going to come Sunday morning and they're going to be like, he can play. All right, we're good. And it's just, that'll be that.
Cowboys go to Lambeau.
Yeah.
And I keep waiting for Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Should I stop waiting for Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, you should. You definitely should. It's something I've been really kind of beating into my podcast really from week one. It really reared its ugly face against the Minnesota Vikings. You know, I think we even talked about it last year, Dan, when we did the quarterback rankings in the offseason. And when I went back and watched him at the end of last season and the way he played against the 49ers in the playoff game. It's just, it's ultra conservative. You know, one, they don't have the weapons and the offense to be explosive necessarily. Two, if they did, I don't know if he'd throw it anyways.
But how much is this Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. How much is this on the Packers or the coaching staff?
I think, you know, everybody could deserve a little blame here. There's no doubt about that. But I think a lot of it's got to go on Aaron Rodgers too. I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers. We watch clips every week of going, wait, the pocket's fine. There's people open. Throw the damn ball. I don't know what we're doing. So there's too much of that. And then you know, last week, of course, they were bad interceptions. They weren't like, oh, man, he got a little unlucky. It was like, no, you threw the one off somebody's helmet. The next one, you threw it like 5 yards too short to Bakhtiari. The third one, guy's open down the middle, but he double clutched it like four times before he finally threw it. And by that time, it was too late and he wasn't open anymore. So, yeah, it's a lack of natural aggressiveness within the normal flow of the offense, let alone a quarterback that doesn't want to throw it down the field. And, you know, the defense is good. It is very good. It's not dominant and doesn't make a ton of plays to help them get the ball back all the time. I don't expect them to win this weekend with the Cowboys rolling into town.
Sell me on Thursday night football, Carolina against Atlanta.
Well, Atlanta's not dead, right? I mean, they're not. We see, I mean, again, with the NFC South, I'm still going to pick the Bucs to win it. But I think, like, we see the Bucs are what they are. They're not going to just dominate football anytime, you know, soon here. Every game is going to be a struggle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So the Falcons are going to be able to hang in here. I'm very impressed, again, with Arthur Smith. The second year in a row, he's got that Vrabel-ish quality about him where – he knows what to do on a weekly basis. Wait, this is what we got to do this week to win. He knows exactly, you know, what his team is, and he doesn't, you know, have any disillusions about that. So they play within that framework, a lot like the Giants in a lot of ways, manages the game the right way that way. So I think that's what you're looking at. Is this a Falcons team that can continue to hang around and be annoying? And then the Panthers, there's not much to look at there other than let's see if they can maybe make some exciting plays and keep this fun like it was a few weeks ago.
Do you think Baker Mayfield will be a starting quarterback ever again?
I'm going to say yes at some point, but I think what we see now, the journey might be, you know, it might be a little while. He might be at the point where next year, yeah, he's relegated to a backup and he's going to have to wait his opportunity. But I do think he still has starting caliber skills as a quarterback. It's hard, you know. It was a hard situation he was put in, and as you know, you watch a ton of football, the Carolina offense, it doesn't got much to offer. It's not that great, and it's underwhelming X's and O's and creativity to go with it. So that's an issue. But yeah, eventually I do think he'll get a chance again and be a starter.
The Niners are favored by 7 Sunday night against the Chargers.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
It's a big number. It's a big number. I understand it. Two things. 49ers, I mean, the offense, this is the first time we're going to see the Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey full unveiling. The Chargers can't stop the run. They don't have enough big people in their defense. And now you got to play this group and the way they run the ball with Shanahan unveiling, you know, tricks all over the place. Ooh, that's scary. And then, you know, the other amazing thing about the 49ers is number one defense in football. And, I mean, what have they been missing, like 3 or 4 of their best players on defense for most of the year? Yeah. That's what's amazing. The 49ers, to me, Dan, are one of those teams that I know they're 4-4 right now, but I think when all said and done, we're going to put them in the class of the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Bills, the Chiefs as one of the better teams in football. I do. I think they have that type of potential. And what also that I understand this 7-point spread, the Chargers, can we get some like game planning? Can we get some shots down the field? We got a quarterback that's got the greatest arm, one of the greatest arms in the history of football, and all they do is throw it 4 yards, right? I know they got the old coordinator from the Saints, and it's the Drew Brees offense, but okay. Can we draw a few plays on the dirt to throw the ball down the field, or do we just have Justin Herbert throw every ball 5 yards and he's got to smash it in there between two guys for a 5-yard gain? That's where it's, I think, the 7 points is, and that's where it's scary. And I would think the 49ers are going to cover that spread, honestly, Dan.
Let me go back to the Packers before I let you go.
Yeah.
They've lost 5 in a row.
Right.
Give me the scenario where Jordan Love becomes the starting quarterback.
Gosh, I would think they'd maybe have to kind of lose the next 4 down the stretch and go to like 3-9. I'm not even sure if they'll do it then. I don't know.
Would you?
Probably not. I think I'd probably look at it and go, no, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you're here next year. We think you're going to be here for $50 million next year. you're here this year. Some of the issues we're having are because of you. We're not going to give you a free pass and let you be on the sidelines and watch us all struggle now. I'd make him be a part of the struggle, too. I would. And I'd go, damn, if you want to come back next year, we got to work on some things with these young guys and kind of set the groundwork for next year. I don't know. I guess that's the way I think a little bit. But I haven't thought about that a lot. It's a good question. Maybe it is one of those things where they lose the next four games, and then after that bye week, they decide, hey, it's over. Let's get out of here. Let's go with Jordan Love and see if he can be something. But it's very weird in that Green Bay situation right now.
Yeah, because I don't know how you address this with your season ticket holders. Do you want to see Jordan Love, or would you still rather see Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
I mean, that's where you let – you let your season ticket holders in and say, hey, we're trying to see if we have a quarterback of the future, or do you want to see the current quarterback as well? I wonder how Packer fans would vote if you said, we're not playoff eligible, we're paying Aaron $50 million a year, with five games left, do you want to see Jordan Love to see if we would pick up his fifth-year option?
I would imagine they'd want to still see, you know, Aaron Rodgers, the legend that he is.
Okay.
I would imagine. And, you know, again, this is things where I feel like, you know, Green Bay, they might need to press him a little bit as the year goes on. Like, are you coming back next year? Can we get an answer now? Can we get it now?
Yeah, good luck with that, where you're going to press him on,
on anything. Yeah, I know.
He's not going to tell them. He'll tell Pat McAfee. And then,
probably. Yeah, I know. You're right. That seems to be how it works. But, yeah, Green Bay disappointing. Rodgers disappointing. All of it. Defense really good, but I still thought it would be even more dominant than what it is.
I did, too.
And, yeah, I think there's a good chance they legitimately lose the next three. Cowboys, Titans, Eagles. Uh-oh. That ain't a good combo for this Packers team.
Have a great weekend. Thank you, Chris.
Anytime, man. Tell the guys I said hi. You're the man, Dan.
Guys, Chris said hello.
Yeah, Paul. See you at Hooters.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.